In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Heavenly Father is like the Father in the parable that Jesus tells. He does not compel. He does not force. He loves with compassion. If we are compelled by law to do good, there is no change in us. Law cannot change us. There is the law, and then there is the spirit behind the law. The reason the law was given, the necessity to govern we who are fallen, the human race who is fallen, the necessity to govern our humanity from the outside. God gave the law for that reason. But God wants us to be free. He wants us to be able to govern ourselves from within ourselves, at one with Him. And so He reveals the spirit of the law by Himself taking on our humanity. And Jesus Christ is the revelation of that spirit behind the law, the reason the law was given. The law says, do not kill. But the spirit of the law means, do not let love turn into anger. The law says that we should not bear false witness. But the spirit of the law says to us in our hearts, do not commit spiritual murder by speaking lies or half-truths, carrying half-truths with their venom to another person and committing a spiritual murder. That is the spirit of the law. The law says, do not adulterate your bodies. But the spirit of the law tells us that we ought not to lose love by lust. God, our Father, desires our freedom from domination by our passions. The loss of love by out of anger or fear or lust. We cannot be free so long as we are governed and ruled by our passions and desires. When we raise young children, we try to guide them, and they acknowledge our authority. They are young children. The authority is clear. We are their protectors. But our goal is to guide them in such a way that they will see the goodness of returning love, the goodness of being truthful and loving with others, becoming compassionate young persons. That's the reason for the authority that a parent exercises over a child. And when it comes to the prodigal, it's easy to forget that prodigal does not mean someone who has left an authority, gone out, learned that he ought to have put himself under that authority, and then returned to put himself under that authority. That is not the meaning of the term prodigal. A legalistic understanding of the Christian faith has made that the meaning of this parable. Most or all of us know that to be prodigal means to take some great wealth and to waste it in such a way that it does us no good and even brings us down to the kind of level that this prodigal, this young son who took all of his share of his father's wealth and wasted it in a way of living that made him less than what he was. Less than what he is meant to be. And then he repents and he returns to the Father. He returns having learned his own humility. The Father had raised him with compassion and dealt with him compassionately because he knew humility. The Father was humble to begin with. Our Heavenly Father, believe it or not, is humble. The humility that he recommends to us is the only way to rule our passions and desires. When the young son returns, he has been humbled by his experience. He has learned the lessons that his father prepared him to learn. We prepare our children to learn the nature of goodness and compassion and the necessity for truth-telling. If there is going to be oneness and integrity between ourselves and others, when they go out into the world, they learn those lessons firsthand. And ideally, they learn humility. Some of us are still spiritual children. All of us, in most ways, are spiritual children because, after all, our Father is the Heavenly Father of our incarnate Lord God Savior, Jesus Christ, Son of God. He we call the Father of the world to come. He is the one who is guiding us. And if we are going to reach the fullness of the stature of Christ, we always have a long way to go. So we are all his spiritual children. Having learned humility, the once prodigal but no longer prodigal son returns and in humility expects to be treated like a servant, to serve something higher than himself. Maybe not yet having learned that it's not a matter of serving his father's authority, but at least he has learned that humility, and his father responds by putting on him a robe. His son is learning how to rule himself. That's why he deserves the purple robe, the kind of robe that a ruler wears. And don't you know that he was humbled by having that robe put on his shoulders, as any ruler ought to be? If we cannot rule ourselves, we cannot rule anything. If our passions rule us, then we are slave to our passions. All things are lawful to me, St. Paul says, but I will have no passion rule over me. I will be free. My passions do not rule me. I am the ruler of my passions along with the one who is the true king, Jesus the Christ. We rule in synergos, I have to say, not synergy, because I've learned the wonder of the internet. The word synergy originated, unbeknownst to us Orthodox, in the 18th century from the Latin. Two Latin parts of words were put together to make the word synergy. I'm sure it's true. When corporations use the word synergy, they don't have the word in mind that you will find 13 times in the New Testament, synergos. In a sense, both words mean exactly the same thing, working together. But synergos, in the New Testament, it means working together with God. It means that we were created to work together with God. We were created to have rulership over our own passions so that we could work together with God. If we are ruled by our passions, then we cannot work with God because we're slaves to those passions. So while the word synergy did originate, I have no question in my mind, in the mid-18th century, it says very specifically from Latin, the English word synergy had that origin. The Greek word in the original New Testament, synergos, was already there. And it is made up of two Greek parts, syn, which means together, and ergon, which means to work together. Synergy is the English translation of the Greek word synergos. We were created to work together with God. That's how we were created. If we don't work together with God, if we rebel against working together with God, as Adam and Eve did, and as we all do live lives of rebellion, wanting to be the source of our own virtue, we throw pride on the fire of our passions, and there is not going to be any self-control. We can only rule our passions by humility. Humility. That is the only way. God himself is humble. Only the one who rebelled against God is prideful. In some ways, maybe the one who rebels against God intends to make things better, the way they ought to be, according to their own understanding. But by rebelling against God, we lose all possibility of dealing in the realm of reality, because the reality is that life comes from God. We have no life in ourselves. There is no life in the world separate from God. There is only a movement toward death. And so, when the formerly prodigal son returns, he is beginning to learn his own father's humility and compassion. This is the kind of humility and compassion that all of us long to learn as Christians who want to be more and more like Christ and less like the prince of this world in his pride. So this path of humility that leads us to the point of what? Not subservience under the authority of God. That's not how God is. That's not how the Father is in the parable. But instead, moving more and more into a life of freedom. Freedom from domination by the values of this world. Freedom from domination of our own passions. There is no law over us, controlling us. But as St. Paul says, I will have nothing controlling over me. I will be free by being at one with God in synergy, in common work with Christ. And what is that work? That work is the life that we are still living, the life that remains for us to live, moving toward God by working along with him in every situation that comes along, in every interaction with every other person that we meet. Each other person being as we are ourselves, created in the image and likeness of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.